Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering the show. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, August 16th, 2016. Kind of the dog days of August there as we push toward almost record territory with our temperatures today. Around 205. Sometimes it feels like that, Ray, right? Around 105. Anyway, a lot on our plate today, so we'll get right at it. Today and Thursday, we're going to meet the three Democrats battling for two Arizona House of Representatives seats in District 2. District 2 is kind of the river district, straddling along the Santa Cruz River from downtown Tucson through Green Valley and Sahuarita before reaching Nogales and the border. So the top two Democratic vote-getters in the primary, which is, by the way, 2 weeks from today, face off against Republican incumbent Chris Ackerley in the November 8th general election. The three Democrats, Daniel Hernandez, who we will meet in a moment, Aaron Bauman, who's going to be my guest at 12:30, and incumbent Rosanna Gabardone. She'll be talking to us on Thursday. But right now, let's introduce Daniel Hernandez, Jr. He is a Southern Arizona native. He was recently named the 2015 Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce 40 Under 40 Man of the Year. He is the former president of the Sunnyside Unified School District Governing Board. He was elected to that board in November of 2011, and he's still on the board, but stepped aside as his presidency so he could devote his full time to running for the legislature. Of course, Daniel was really only on the job as an intern for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords for less than a week on that horrible day, January 8th, 2011, and Daniel is widely credited with saving the life of Gabby Giffords after that gunman shot her and 18 other people. Daniel Hernandez, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me again. I'm excited to be here.
Tell me about your number. Well, I guess we were talking right before I went on the air. You've got kind of a trio of issues at the top of your agenda.
Yeah. You know, I feel like far too often we try and boil things down to just one issue. But I think as Americans and as Arizonans, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. So I think there are three big issues that we really need to address. The first one has to do with our infrastructure and the dire needs, particularly in Southern Arizona. When we look at Pima County as a whole, there's about $900 million that needs to be invested just to get our roads up to snuff. So that's a big problem. But when you get even further south to Santa Cruz County, to Nogales, to Arivaca, to places that are not in the metro areas for Tucson and Phoenix, you see such dire need that it's like a third world country. So infrastructure investment and making sure that funds are being put where they need to be put. Second, education funding has been a big priority for me. I've been a school board member for 5 years, and in my tenure, I've seen $17.5 million in cuts just in Sunnyside. But as I've been on the National School Board Association and in the Arizona School Board Association in various capacities, I've seen that it's not just Sunnyside, it's all of Arizona schools. We are amongst the lowest in terms of per pupil funding, and we need to start addressing some of the funding cliffs that will happen, especially with the near expiration of Prop 300, which goes from a sales tax to fund teacher salaries. And then thirdly, I think the most the biggest thing for me personally is really making sure that we're working hard to do as much as we can for the different things, especially around gun violence prevention. That's an issue that's near and dear to my heart. It's something that I've talked about a lot, especially after what happened with Congresswoman Giffords. So infrastructure, education, and gun violence prevention are probably the three. They sometimes rotate in and out depending on what's going on because we need to be nimble and there's a lot of other things. But I think if we can work on the three of them together, we can solve a lot of problems here in Arizona.
The problem is with Democrats at the state legislature being in the minority, it's hard to get your voice heard.
It is, but I have a long track record of actually doing that. You know, one of the things that I oftentimes hear from folks is, why would you want to go to the legislature? You know, you have a very promising career. You have a lot of things that you could be doing. Why the heck would you want to go?
Some might look at it as a step back.
Yeah, and that's certainly something that I've heard from folks, even mentors. But I'm very dedicated to working and finding solutions. You know, in my experience in Sunnyside, it wasn't the easiest time. It was certainly a trial by fire with recalls happening to get rid of corrupt board members. But then at the actual Capitol, I have a lot of experience actually getting bills done. In 2010, I worked on my first piece of legislation as a 20-year-old student with no money and no real backing other than the Arizona Students Association, and was able to get my first bill passed in 2010. And then as the state lead for Everytown for Gun Violence Prevention, I was able to block things like guns in public buildings and libraries. And I was able to work with Governor Bruner final year to actually get the Nix Fix bill passed into law. And then in a public bill signing, I joined her with law enforcement. So when it comes to being a Democrat that get things done, I'm one of the few that's a pragmatic progressive that will find ways to work with even the most conservative Republicans, because that's how you get things done in Arizona.
Do you think it hurt your chances in this election, Daniel, when Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News, revealed that you had misrepresented your education, claiming a UA degree where you actually were one class short of a diploma?
You know, this is something that came up a couple weeks ago, and it's something that none of the voters are bringing up to me as a problem, because when we're talking to voters, the thing that they're concerned about is the lack of infrastructure investment, the lack of investment in education. So this is something that we address back when I talked to the Tucson Sentinel, to the Daily Star, and then in a debate just a couple weeks ago. So this is something that I take full ownership of. You know, I still had everything else done except for this one math class. And, you know, I never claimed that I was the biggest expert on math. So now I'm having to join some of my interns and take the math class with them. And it's been an interesting experience and certainly a humbling one, because I've always talked about accountability. And that's why as soon as we were made aware of it, we took steps to start doing what we could to rectify the situation. This is something that, you know, is an embarrassment, and had I known earlier, I would have taken care of it sooner, because I've been on a school board for 5 years. So clearly education is a priority for me. When we talk about education, the issues that I want to talk about are, what are we doing to invest in our K-12 system? But also, let's look at the University of Arizona and the cuts that it's received. So we could sit here and say Daniel has one math class that he's missing, or we can actually have a conversation about policy and what we need to do to make sure that we're doing what we can for our students. And the biggest thing that I think is a concern for us here in Pima County is the zeroing out in the last two budgets of the community colleges, which serve such an important need. So when I'm going back to finalize my math class, I'm taking the class at Pima because they are flexible. They work with students who have different needs and are working at the same time. And for me, that's the thing that we need to be focused on, not on, you know, this thing that, you know, I've had a couple people mention it, but it's usually they're sympathizing because they have also had issues with transfer classes in the past.
All right, let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim, I think it's Jim Kelly, has a question for Daniel Hernandez. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Daniel. Are there specific projects in Legislative District 2 that you would support for infrastructure? Second half of my question is, what industries will you support that will raise the median income of a very poor Legislative District 2 district?
You know, Jim, thank you for your question. I think that is very important for us to talk about some of the things that need to be done, especially when we get down to Santa Cruz County. So we received some money this last budget appropriation. I believe it was about $25 million to fix roads in southern Arizona in the Nogales area. But when you're looking at the roads, especially as you're trying to facilitate cross-border trade, we need to invest more in places, not just in Nogales, but in the intermediary places like Green Valley, like Sahuarita, that will make sure that the entirety of the roads from Sonora to Arizona are usable. I've been endorsed by the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and the Phoenix Chamber of Commerce because I'm someone who is committed to making sure that we're doing what we can to bring in some of these high-tech industries and some of these new manufacturing jobs that are different than what we have envisioned in the past with manufacturing. So they're more high-tech. And we're also looking at trying to do certain things to incentivize things like coding in schools to try and make sure that we have more people who are eligible and able to code when they leave high school. So I'm a big supporter of career and technical education programs. And one specific policy that I want to support is refunding career and technical education at the ninth grade level, which is something that we used to do, so that it gives kids the opportunity to start investigating and looking at different potential careers that are in some of these technical fields before they get to their senior year. Because by the time they're a junior or a senior, they only have a year or two to really explore and get certified. And we're doing a lot of great things in places like Sunnyside because of that. But if we were able to give the money in the ninth and 10th grade for these students to be able to explore, I think it'd give them more opportunities in manufacturing, in coding, in biotech. We have a wonderful biotech program and an iSTEM Academy at Desert View that is a national model for what we could be doing. And it should be a model in Arizona, because if we're doing it in one school without significant investment from the state and we're partnering with businesses, then we could be doing this in other places and replicating it elsewhere.
All right, Daniel Hernandez, candidate of one of the three Democratic candidates in District Number 2. Thank you very much, Daniel. What is your website?
DanielForArizona.com.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is reminding you they have pigeon services with an alliterative pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you will be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And Shelley Fishman is with us right now, certified financial planner. And if it's Tuesday, there might be a little bit of erosion on the market for the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, Bill. It's Tuesday. There is erosion.
Yeah, a little
bit. To worry about.
No, it's nothing to worry about. It's just. But you had said a couple of weeks ago that this is going to be the pattern for the rest of the year, your prediction.
Up and down,
yeah,
up and down.
Up and
right.
down, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, quite frankly, since then we have had, you know, some fairly significant increases that seem to be sticking. I mean, we're up at, you know, halfway between 18,000 and 19,000 on the Dow, and it's kind of sticky there. So I think we will have more you know, highs and lows that are alarming, you know, one way or another, depending upon whether you think the market's overbought or under, you know, or under oversold or overbought. But in any case, I think that what today's action is a result of is some words from one of the Fed presidents basically saying, you know, an interest rate rise in September is not off the table. And as you know, Bill, you and I have talked about this now for a year. I said we'd get one interest rate increase in 2016, and I thought it would be in September. So I'm thinking that could happen.
Huh. And the interest rates over in Great Britain, they finally dropped their interest rate for the first time.
Yes.
The Bank of England dropped their interest rate for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, well, what we're seeing in all of the central banks around the world and the developed nations is a propensity to stimulate, to want to provide stimulus to economies that are growing more slowly or not at all in some cases, then historical averages would indicate they should be growing at. And that's got some people really concerned because old models, and here we go, this is what we talked about last week, and it's such a great subject. The old models of looking at economies and making predictions based upon certain indicators just don't hold true in this globalized, you know, economic world. There was one of the editors from Bloomberg News yesterday published an editorial in Bloomberg in which he said, you know, stop looking at the old models. They don't work anymore. The truth is we just don't know what should be normal and what works in this new global economy. We saw very interesting on Saturday in the New York Times, Bruce Bartlett, of all people, Bruce Bartlett actually wrote the piece of legislation for Jack Kemp that became the Ronald Reagan tax cut in 1981. I mean, he knows something about tax cuts. He's a supply-sider. He's a Republican. And he basically said, stop. Supply-side economics and tax cuts are not the way to go in this economy. I'm sure that he lost his Republican ID card for writing this as a you know op-ed in the Times. But he's very right. He debunked a lot of the myths about the Reagan economy, and just said, look, we had a tax cut in 1981. We had 11 tax increases in the Reagan administration subsequent to that tax cut, taking back about half of the tax cuts. And oh, by the way, the economy didn't start picking up until guess what happened? Mm-hmm. Number one, we had a deep recession so that we were able to get inflation under control. And number two, we started stimulating the economy through spending on military rearmament. He said those two things made for a not bad economic result in the 80s. But We're seeing it, I think, yesterday.
Yeah,
in the Star, is Reaganism still relevant for the GOP? Mm-hmm. And both the pro and the con commentators here both said, you know, the Reaganism is for the 1980s. The 1980s are long past, and things are different now. So, you know, I was just working numbers this morning because I just wanted to see, because my clients want to know what to look forward to from an investment perspective in an economic environment that is, as I have been saying, unique and not subject to some of the old rules. Well, you know, you had your guy in Washington,
Terry
Bracey, yeah. 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. made a forecast about the election. In the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. if anything, I think we have become more convinced by the numbers, at mm-hmm. least the polling numbers, that there's a strong likelihood that we will get a slightly left of center president whose economic policies look a lot like the economic policies that we've seen for the past 8 years. Those policies have been uninspiring, undramatic, somewhat centrist, and they've worked. They've worked better than the rest of the world, the economies in the rest of the world, not as well as we'd like to have seen them work. But if, in fact, that's what we're going to see over the next 4 years, then as an investor, I have some confidence that there will be some trend that says, okay, fine, the world has changed in the past 20 years. What has gone on? You know, if you take a look at GDP growth since the end of World War II, under Republican presidents, it's been 2.6%. Not bad, a little better than we're doing right now. Under Democratic presidents, it's been 3.4%. If you take a look at recessions since the war, we've had 11 recessions, and I'm going to give. The 2001 recession to Clinton, even though it actually occurred during the Bush years. 8 of the 11 recessions were during Republican administrations. If you take a look at unemployment, the unemployment numbers for Republican administrations have been 6.36. For Democratic administrations, it's been 5.82. So Democrats seem to do better than Republicans. But when I take a look at all of the numbers for the for the administrations, the highest single average unemployment number mm-hmm. during the Obama administration, 7.15%.
Wow.
Now, he started off with a huge number. I mean, he had a lot to overcome. But even so it is very difficult to look at the typical historical record and predict going forward. If we have a centrist or slightly left of center economic set of policies going forward, I believe that U.S. investors who stay with a well-balanced, high-quality portfolio will do very well.
All right, let's go to the live line. Matthew has been waiting very patiently.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Matthew, what's on your mind today?
Well, you know, Shelley, I think you're right on. There are three things that are troubling to me right now. BHP Billiton, $6 billion loss. Obviously, they're into mining and some offshore oil stuff. And that for the first time ever, they cut their dividend by 50%. $6 billion loss.
Yeah, I heard
the
that
second
today.
One, yeah. The second one that brings it home is Macy's. I'm hoping you'll talk about what effect that may have on Arizona and especially Tucson. I haven't seen the list, but just the reality of following what we saw happen to Sports Authority, having basically, I think it was Sports Authority that just shut down completely. And finally, how does this jibe with the fact that we just had great unemployment numbers? I mean.
Okay, so you're picking, Matthew, thanks for the question. That's a really good question. If we take a look at extraction in general and energy extraction in particular, we see that the lowering in oil prices has had a major effect on companies that are into secondary and tertiary recovery around the world. So, and it's also reflected in other minerals and commodities. So we're seeing losses in certain sectors, but overall profitability has not been bad. It's been a little bit lackluster, but again, overall profitability has not been bad around the entire economy, and especially when we look at consumer. Now, that said, you say, well, what about Macy's? First of all, Macy's has not released the list that I know of.
I believe, as of yesterday, they had not. No, I have not seen
the list.
So
we don't know what the Southern Arizona effect is going to be. But clearly, when you have an organization that has not been able to keep pace with where the today's economy is sending us, then they're going to have to do some cutbacks. We've seen that, you know, with some consolidations.
The brick and mortar stores versus the internet.
Absolutely. Now, you know, we see, you know, companies like Amazon and several others doing very, very well, where companies like Macy's, Sports Authority,
struggling.
Office Depot, yes, and those have had trouble. This is a new world. It's a new economy. And I think the examples you're using, Matthew, really go to the point we were making, which is we've got to really keep open minds as to what the economy is telling us and learn from it.
All right. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Always a pleasure, Shelley. We can find you at buckmastershow.com. There's a direct link to you, and you do return your phone calls.
I absolutely do, Bill.
Yes, love to talk to any of our listeners. We'll be right back. Have a great week, Shel.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amol Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, Dr. Victoria Mazes joins us. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. It's her monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show, live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and archive at buckmastershow.com.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson, and they have so many attractions over there, like the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, the Catwalk National Recreation Trail, recently reopened and is better than ever. It's only 3 hours to Silver City, a lot going on over there, a very historic town. You can check out the full listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. As I mentioned at the top of the show, today we are focusing on, we're meeting two of the three Democrat candidates in Legislative District number 2. The top two vote-getters will advance on to face incumbent Chris Ackerley in the November 8th election. We met Daniel Hernandez at the beginning of the show. Now we're going to talk with Aaron Bauman, and we'll be speaking with the incumbent Rosanna Gabaldon, and she'll be on the program Thursday. So we bring in now Mr. Bauman. How are you, Aaron? How's it going?
Pretty well. Thanks for having me, Bill.
How is the campaign going?
Very well, I think. I've been working hard. I've been getting to all the parts of the district, from Nogales to Suarita and Green Valley to the south side of Tucson, and I've been getting a very good response.
Tell me about your particular issue. Is there one issue, or is there a three-pack, two-pack?
I think, like Mr. Hernandez said earlier, a lot of us agree on what the important issues are. The important issues are education, infrastructure, and then for me, there are several others that are of somewhat equal importance. I think changing the political rhetoric around immigration and the Latino community, changing our pattern of mass incarceration. But again, the top two priorities are funding education, changing our pattern of under-prioritizing paying teachers and buying textbooks and technology for classrooms. And then second, funding infrastructure so that we can have continuous strong economic growth.
You graduated from the University of Arizona Law School.
I did.
In May, and the legal profession is something that I guess you pretty much had been focusing on for many years, isn't it?
Yeah, right. So I've been in law school for a few years and have been interested in law and policy for many more.
What areas of the law particularly are of interest to you, Aaron Bauman?
Education law and education reform are of interest to me. I worked at the Arizona Center for Law in the Public Interest, which was engaged in a years-long lawsuit against the state of Arizona for education reform so that the state would pay the inflation funding that they owed to the school districts.
That was the original lawsuit. That group was the group that brought the original lawsuit.
Exactly. The lawsuit that ended up in Prop 123.
Right. So you would be, if elected, one of the youngest, if not maybe the youngest, wouldn't you?
I think I would be the youngest
lawmaker.
The youngest lawmaker right now.
And you are how old?
I'm 25.
25 years old. So do you feel that as, and I brought this up with Mr. Hernandez because I think it's very important, that Democrats, when they go up to Phoenix, they don't always get the voice they certainly believe that that should be heard up there, that they, let's put it this way, their seat at the table is not always there.
Right. And I think that part of it is politics, part of it is partisanship, but again, if we want a seat at the table, we individually as representatives need to earn that seat. And so I think having an educated, qualified representative, regardless of age, somebody with a strong, passionate voice who can represent the issues that matter to Southern Arizona will earn that seat and earn that trust from both parties in Phoenix.
You've been meeting a lot of people in the district. What do they put at their top of the list of issues that they would like to be addressed in Phoenix?
Yeah, so I put it this way, that people, almost everyone, wants better lives for their children and opportunities for themselves. And that comes with economic growth and investment in education. And so the other issues that we talk about in local and state politics and then nationally are certainly important. But of overriding importance are the issues that don't really have political partisan bias, and that's taking care of schools so that students can succeed and investing in economic opportunities so that once students graduate and adults of all ages can have jobs and can have the opportunity for prosperity.
Do you have some ideas on how to get more jobs into the district?
Yeah, so I think at the state level, the best thing you can do is invest in infrastructure. Like Mr. Hernandez said earlier, infrastructure serves everyone, regardless of race, regardless of age, regardless of color. Everyone has the opportunity to access state highways. And investment in state highways in Southern Arizona, near the border, for example, drives economic growth throughout the state. So if we invest, for example, in some of the state highways and state highway exits near the border, it streamlines the trade, the booming trade that we have with Mexico, or the opportunity for booming trade that we have with Mexico. As it is, our infrastructure is crumbling, frankly, and we are losing trade to our neighbors in California and Texas. So despite the rosy outlook that some of our state politicians have, our infrastructure is crumbling, and it will continue to do so into the future unless we invest in it now.
That district, number two, needs a lot of work when it comes to roads.
It certainly does.
Has it been neglected?
I think it has been neglected. It's consistent with how I see as politicians at the state level prioritizing current needs or needs that should have been met in the past in the present so that they can build political capital for themselves, for their own benefit. Because when we as politicians, as individuals running for office, are talking about needs that we will see in the future, the electorate, they are initially are somewhat skeptical because they want to know what we can do for them now. But we can meet their needs now and also address their needs in an efficient way now so that those needs won't become as glaring and as gaping in the future.
This is a daunting task when you are so outnumbered up in Phoenix, but you feel that even as a freshman lawmaker, if you were to be elected, you really can make a difference.
I think that's right. I think that as a passionate, educated voice, you can have both a seat at the negotiating table, and you can participate in the discussion, which takes place in media, it takes place at doors and in phone calls and all of the other ways that you can really engage with people as a politician.
You haven't mentioned higher education.
Yeah, well, it's clearly important. It's as important as the K-12 system. And so investing in the community college and public education system so that public universities can be, as the Arizona Constitution requires, as close to free as possible, so that they're accessible, affordable, and excellent. That's something that we need to prioritize as lawmakers.
The tuition issue bothers you a little bit?
It does. I think that we do see some misprioritization from the leaders of our public universities, so that they're investing in the different ways that the universities can compete with other universities around the country And not to discount the importance of that, but when in reality, their first priority should be to make the universities accessible and excellent for students in Arizona.
Where can people find out more about you, Aaron?
My website is baumannforaz.com, and my last name is a little tricky. It's Baumann.
Why do you think so few young people are getting into politics? You are an exception.
Well,
Mr. Hernandez is a young man too.
Right, so, but generally we are the exception.
Yes.
It just seems very unattractive. When I said I was running, everyone asked me why, you know, why would you want to do that? Even though as young people we recognize the problems and we do share the patriotism and the commitment to the present and the future of our state that people of all generations share. But we just don't see the way to change that as getting involved in politics. And that, frankly, must change.
So you believe that it's better for you just to get active rather than just say, oh, somebody will take care of it.
Right.
Somebody.
Exactly. Right. That's the thing, is that if we're complaining, well, if we don't step up and take care of the problems or try to address the problems, nobody will.
Aaron Bauman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. So we have met now two of the three candidates. The incumbent is Rosanna Gabaldon, and she will be our guest on Thursday. And again, the top two vote getters in that Democratic primary in District 2 will face the Republican incumbent, Chris Ackerley, in the November 8th election. We'll be right back.
This is our house. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's our house.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations by delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County. The RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. And a reminder, check out Green Things on 13 Acres over at 3384 East River Road. That's just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com has the full listing of the many services they provide. One of the nice services that they do on the weekends are these free weekend workshops on gardening, 10 a.m. each Saturday and Sunday. You can just drop in and check it out, and I urge you to do so. It's really a destination in itself. They've got just about everything you need for your gardening interests. All right, the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 with our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Adrian Kelt is Pima County's Library Writer in Residence. It's part of a new statewide project that dispatches writers to libraries throughout the state. Her debut novel is titled The Daughters, and it's been critically acclaimed. It just was released recently in paperback. It's published by W.W. Norton, and it won the 2015 Penn Southwest Book Award and was named a Best Book of the Year by NPR. Adrian Kelt joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Adrian, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. So where can we find you for this program, this Writer in Residence program? Do you alternate between several of the libraries?
Two of the libraries. So for one of my main duties is office hours, and that means that writers can come in for half-hour slots and bring me their work or bring me their questions or both. Today, I actually just got back from the downtown main library. Every Tuesday, I've been there all summer from 10 a.m. till noon. And then on Fridays, I'm at Himmel Park from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m.
How did this program come about, this writer-in-residence program in our libraries?
I believe it was the brainchild of Amy Ledden at the State Library of Arizona. She got in touch with me, and that's how I got involved. And she was interested in piloting this program based on another artist-in-residence program in Wisconsin called The Bubbler. So it was all her, as far as I know.
Were libraries very important to you, Adrian, growing up?
Oh, absolutely. I'm one of four children, so my poor mother brought us to the library all the time for just about everything that it had to offer, from workshops and art classes to hanging out and reading books. And I loved the library, and I love it still. I would always bring home huge, huge stacks of books that my mom recommended or just that I was interested in, and I would devour them. So I have loved the library for a long time.
When did that interest in reading translate into actually writing your own work?
Well, I've been writing for my entire life. I got really serious about it in college and after college, and I got my MFA in creative writing from Arizona State University. But really, you know, from the beginning, I was as interested in telling stories as in hearing stories, because both of them felt to me like a way to inhabit these other worlds and get to be really intimate with characters that either I had thought up or someone else had thought up. It sort of felt like a natural progression to me from the start.
So how does it work? People will bring you their work, and then you will critique it. Is that the kind of the initial step?
That is one way to do it. I've had a real variety of people, and I sort of let it be user's choice. So some people come in, and they really just want to talk to me about their writing and about their writing process, and get ideas for how to schedule their time or book recommendations. And then some people have been very focused from the start, bringing me either short fiction, or I have had a couple of people, especially one dedicated writer, bringing in sections of a novel that we've been working through from the beginning of the summer till now. And some people do a little bit of both, and some people get publishing advice, so it's a real variety.
Did you get some advice before your work, The Daughters, was published?
So much advice. Yeah, I began writing that book in grad school, and I participated in a lot of workshops, as any writing student will be familiar with, where we would bring in our short fiction and critique it in a classroom setting. And that novel actually began as a short story that I brought to workshop that everyone really liked, but said, you know, you have too much story here for this to fit in a short framework. So I expanded it, and I worked with some of my peers, who are, you know, also my best friends, and also with my teachers, who are very much treasured parts of my writing life. So yes, I got a lot of feedback myself.
Interesting dynamic there. We think of writing as being, you know, a solo endeavor, but during the process itself, it can be very collaborative, can't it?
It can. I mean, it's always an interesting mixture of those two things, because you really have to spend a lot of time focused and alone getting the work done, but you are so far inside your own head and inside your own conception of the story that I think it's really invaluable to get feedback from outside readers, because they're able to look at the work objectively and tell you, like, did you miss telling us some important information here that you just intuitively feel like is there because you intend it to be? And they're able to tell you where your intentions and your actions are not as such colliding yet.
Well, you obviously hit a home run with The Daughters. What was it about this book, and what is it about this book that seems to resonate with so many readers?
Well, I hope it's that the characters and the themes are sort of universal and well fleshed out. I do think that we are in a moment right now in literature where stories of complicated pictures of maternity and what it is possible as a mother and as a woman in an artistic or just a professional field are really taking off. Jenny Offel's story or novel that Department of Speculation was a great example of that. That was also a runaway hit. But I brought as much of myself and my interests and my passions for bringing music and art and humanity onto the page as I could, and it seems to have connected with readers, so I can just say I'm grateful that it did.
What was the genesis for this book? Was there something that triggered this experience?
Well, like I said, it started as a short story, and so it really evolved from just sort of an image of this family of women who are all beautiful and musically talented and progressing from essentially one woman out into infinity. And I was interested from the beginning in exploring my Polish heritage, so that's something that comes in a major way in the book, and it was also important in the story. And I didn't intend originally to write about World War II, but survivor's guilt from World War II is a major part of the motivations for one of the characters and the way that she tells stories to her granddaughter. But it turns out that you can't write a story about Poland without running into World War II.
Yes.
pretty much. Mm-hmm. So that became really, really important. And I ended up traveling to Poland to meet relatives and to do some on-the-ground research.
Certainly the experience in the bombing of Warsaw in 1939 is a seminal moment, not only for the 20th century, but probably for all of Polish history, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And what is really interesting to me, my grandfather fought in World War II as a courier for the Polish government in exile, and I had he was a paratrooper as part of this group called the Cicha Ciemni, which translates to the dark and the silent, which is just the best name for any group I've ever heard. And so I always knew that he was a war hero and that he and my grandmother were both involved in the war, but what I hadn't realized until I began researching this book is that they were both born around the time of Polish independence. So it became so clear to me how personal a quest this was for the Polish people to during World War II to retain as much independence as they could and to fight back against tyranny is really embedded in the Polish spirit.
Well, congratulations. Adrian Kelt, The Daughters is the name of the book, now out in paperback. Adrian is also Pima County's library. Pima County Library's writer in residence. You can find her Tuesdays and Fridays at the Downtown and the Himmel Park Library branches. Want to wish you all the best of luck. And where can people find the book? And is there a particular place that you would like to direct them?
Definitely for Tucson residents, Antigone Books is a great place to find it. And really, it should be available most places books are sold.
Adrian Kelt, and her last name is spelled C-E-L-T. Adrian, thank you very much for speaking with us, and best of luck to you.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, Adrian Kelt, very interesting lady, young lady. Her book is titled The Daughters. Coming up this afternoon, it's 4, Tucson at 4. Mike Shaw, Ray Allen together will be bringing you that program. Then we do 3 hours of Wake Up Tucson now from 6 to 9. So there's lots of talk available here on KVOI. And Dr. Mazes will be with us tomorrow. Always lots to talk about. I think we're going to be talking about this new information that's come out about sunscreens. This is something you're going to want to hear from Dr. Mazes from the Center for Integrative Medicine tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. All right. Have a great afternoon and evening. Ray Allen also wishing you the best. See you tomorrow.